You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome all of you wherever you're listening. If you're at home listening on the radio, if you're out in your car listening on the radio, you're on the internet, wherever you're at, we just greet you and welcome you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And we've been on this radio program for 19 plus years, Pastor. Now, that's hard to believe how long we've been on the radio, but the time goes by so fast. But we enjoy being with you. We hope you get something out of the program, and you should, because we're going to give you the Word of God, not what we think, but what the Bible says. And so, praise God. We're in an incredible season now. Tomorrow will be the first day of trumpets. And then Monday's the second day of trumpets. And so, could it be this year? We don't know. But we're going to talk about a few things prophetically about this event. That one day it will be the real thing, won't it, Pastor Don? It won't be an exercise anymore. Israel right now, if you think about it, they're rehearsing this every year. They're in this time right now. And they're leading up to these 10 days of awe that's coming in. They look at this every year. And they know one year is going to be the final time when this will be looked at. And it's going to be the conclusion of everything that the Bible tells us about, that Yeshua is going to establish His kingdom, and He's going to come back and all that. And so we got so much to look at with all this. And so we thought we'd look about some things with you today about trumpets. And I thought I'd look at it a little different way than sometimes we do. And there's a lot of scriptures talking about how God wants to hide the Jewish people, even in the first covenant. And it's prophetic there, but it's like a mystery. It's like a sword. It's kind of hid away. But if we look at the context and what God's saying, well, then we can understand what He wants us to know.
Amen.
And this is not only for the church to think about resurrection and catching away, but it's for Israel as well. He wants them to come. He wants them to come. And a lot of them down through time did come to Yeshua. It's in the grave, their bodies. One day there'll be a resurrection out from among the dead, and then there'll be a catching away one day to bring them out as well, the ones that come to Messiah, Jew and Gentile. But there's a lot of them that have not come. This is the desire for us. And we're in the days of awe. And this is what God wants us to know. He cares so much about His people, Israel. And so we need to really pray that more and more of them will come to their Messiah. And you know, a lot of areas in the church has a thought that God's done with Israel. We have this replacement theology thought and anti-Semitism and all that. But that's a lie, because the Bible makes it quite clear that Israel will be there all the way to the end. And so we're believing with them. We want them to come to the Messiah and have the fullness of Him in their lives, and everything will change with them. And, you know, I just found this out the other day, Pastor Don, I mentioned at our prayer meeting on Thursday. You know, I went to Israel several years ago with a good friend of mine. There was only about 50 congregations at that time, you know, Messianic congregations in Israel.
Believers in Yeshua.
Well, found out from this man that came to our church, from, he lives in Israel. And he's involved with the political arena and all that. He said there's over 300 now Messianic congregations that came into being in those few years. So God's on the move with His people. I just felt
that's awesome.
I felt a doodad go up my back because he wants them to come and he's going to do everything he can. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. We're going to talk a little bit about here today.
That's right.
It's all about, it's for them, he's giving them another opportunity. You know, if they're not in the right place on trumpets, which we're talking about for tomorrow and for Monday, if they're not in the right place, all right, well, at the very end of Jacob's trouble, he's still going to give them another 10 days to get right with the Lord before he establishes the kingdom. And so his mercy and grace is there with him. He wants them to come. And so stay tuned in with us today, and I hope you'll receive some things about the Bible in areas that some people don't look at. But we got to get this thought out of the church's mind that God is done with Israel. I can't imagine any pastor could read Romans 10:11 and think that God was done with the nation of Israel. It is totally impossible. And even at the beginning of chapter 10, Paul says, is God done with Israel? Has he cast him off? And what did Paul say? He says, God forbid.
No way.
No way. They're in God's plan. You know, they were the ones that were there in the beginning, but he chose. We don't know why he chose them, but he did. And so he chose them, and we got all the patterns. We got all the ministry that they did in the temple area and all that, with all the patterns prophetically to show us the last days and all that. So God gave that to the Jewish people. And now we, as Gentiles, well, we've been honored to be grafted into what God gave them. We're part of them now. We're the unnatural
branch.
Right. I get excited thinking about that. That we're so blessed to be part of that. And so we got to look at that. And so he has not thrown them away.
Amen.
And so,
well, everything
God.
Started there, and everything's going to end in Israel.
That's right.
In Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. It's all going to end there. At the very end, everything's going to end there. So I want to mention, too, I want to give the radio our telephone number.
Okay.
And I want to mention that we're going to have an awesome service tomorrow.
Okay.
A Rosh Hashanah service.
Hallelujah.
So, hallelujah. Open the gates. That's what it's all about.
Maybe God will just take us out of there.
Well, you don't know. It
That's
says
right.
what we won't know.
That's right.
We won't know the day or the hour. But we and those of you who have been listening to us, you know what the Bible says? We believe that we will know the season. We
That's
believe
right.
what Paul said. Paul
That's
says,
right.
you know the times and
the
seasons, and
That's
you
right.
should not be ignorant of these things.
That's right.
Didn't Paul say that,
That's
Pastor
right.
Gene?
1 Thessalonians chapter and 5, verse 1.
That's, tell them again.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. I have no need to teach you or tell you about the times and the seasons. It's referring to the time of the year. The seasons talk about the Moedim, the appointed times that God has in place.
So if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that we believe that the catching away is going to happen when the appointed time comes.
That's right.
And so the word rapture isn't actually in the Bible, but
no.
a lot of people use the word rapture. But we're going to be
caught away.
There's going to be a secret catching away.
A snatching,
right.
Off the earth, yeah.
For those who believe in Yeshua, because he's going to protect us from that time.
That's right.
Of
I believe it.
God's going to pour out his wrath upon mm-hmm. this earth because of sin, because
right.
of people who didn't receive Yeshua, because of what's happened. You know, the cup of iniquity.
It's almost full.
And so there, and you can look, it's just, sin is everywhere. Sin
That's
is
right.
everywhere. Of course, there are, thank God, there are God's people. But, you know, even God's people need to repent, because many of God's people have, we all have sin in our life. But many believers are doing exactly as the Israelite children did when they were in the wilderness. They're doing the wrong thing. They're disobeying God.
Disobeying, yeah.
So we need to repent, and this is called a time of repentance, or the Hebrew Bible says teshuva. Teshuva means just to turn around and come back to me. Return, teshuva, to return to who? To return to the Lord and do what is correct.
But if they've never met him, they cannot return. They have to come first.
They have to come.
That's right.
They have to come, and they have to, then they repent, and they come, and they have, everything is new, you know. This is going to be a new year.
Right.
This is going to be year 77.
3 sevens. Mm-hmm.
3 sevens, I think about, you know, a jet plane. 3777.
Yeah.
You know, could this be the year? It could be this year.
Could
we only have a day? Another day or two?
We don't know, do we?
We could be those who may be caught away. There may be some people who disappear off the face of the earth within the next few days. So we don't know, but we know that we're in the right season. We're in the right season. We just don't know the day or the hour, because, you know, Rosh Hashanah only comes on a new moon. It's the only one of the seven feasts of the Lord that comes on
a
new
moon.
That's
right.
And that is not knowing the day or the hour.
That's right.
And so, you know, in ancient Israel, and they still do it today because that's the way God said to do it, they look for the new moon. And
48-hour window, yeah.
And this month, they happen, they call the moon that we have now a black moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's dark.
Right.
It's black. It's called a black moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look that up on the internet. And I believe it has to do with when there's two new moons in 1 month. So here we have this going on. And so it could be. We don't know.
That's right.
Could be. But we need to be ready. And we need to be. Jesus said he's come back for those who are looking for him, right? Not very many people are looking for the Lord to come back. But
yeah, they think it's way off in the future sometime, you know, if it's even going to come, you know.
And some people don't even believe in
a pre-rapture
catching away. Now, a lot of people believe it's we're going to go through the whole 7 years, but we're going to share with you today why we believe we're going to be out of here. We won't be here for all those 7 years of the wrath of God being poured out, all those vials. The things that are happening today have been happening all along. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Jesus said, when you see these things happen, well, there's always been earthquakes. It's just that there's more earthquakes now.
That's right.
There's
like
always
you said.
Been things happen. You know, right now there's lots of rivers in the world that are blood red. You can look that up on the internet. There's so many things. They're thinking about turning this internet over to the United Nations at the end of this month of Elul. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But that's not a good thing. We're turning a lot of things over to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to be ready because we can see that things are not getting any better. But we got to pray. Just like we have our prayer meeting on Thursday, we pray. We pray for God's hand to move, and we pray for, you know, give us grace and mercy, and which he does. But, you know, we just got to pray and seek the Lord and pray for our loved ones and pray for our friends and. But anyways, we're having a great Rosh Hashanah service on Sunday, tomorrow. And it's open the gates. And so if you want to come, I know you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed out of your shoes. Most of us don't take half our shoes off. You know, we're on holy ground. God is holy. And so we're going to have a great Rosh Hashanah service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So I want to mention that. And if you want to like to come, you haven't ever come to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida. We're right on Cantor Highway and Monterey Road in a plaza. We're in a plaza, and I'm just going to give you the phone number, and you can call. We'll give you directions on how to find us, or you can Google Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and the phone number is area code 772-285-7007, and I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And like I said, we're in a plaza, so don't be looking for a church building. We're in a plaza, and
right next to
Save-A-Lot food store.
We want to save a lot of people, don't we?
Amen. We've been in this auditorium for 23 years. We're in the Martin County Realtors Auditorium. Been there for 23 years, is it, Gene?
That's
Pastor
right.
Gene?
Uh-huh.
Been there
23
for a long
plus
time.
Now.
We've had a prophecy about God would give us real estate to deal with. Well, we thought he was going to give us property to buy. You know, you never know, but we've been in there in a real estate auditorium for all these years, and it's a wonderful place, and God has blessed us there.
Amen.
So we're there Friday night. We come in Friday night, and we were there last night, and we come in, we're there Saturday, and we're for teaching in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. Friday night it's at 7 o'clock. We have our Shabbat and, you know, prayer and go over our Torah portions.
Amen.
Because if we don't know the things in the Torah, we're not going to know about the end times, because that's where it all starts. That's the key. That's where we have to go back
that's
to
right.
the beginning. We're not going to know how things end. The book of Revelation, we got to know how things began, because God set everything up on a certain timetable, and it's called his calendar. It's
that's
called
right.
God's calendar.
It's a prophetic calendar.
And if you still have time to get Pastor Gene's book, and we're still here after Rosh Hashanah, well, you know what? You need to get it, because it will teach you all about what's going to happen next. Because if we're gone, you can bet your boots you know exactly what's going to happen next. You know, you got 7 years to get right with the Lord, and many people during those 7 years may be martyred. The Bible says they will be martyred. People are being martyred right now as we're talking right now. There are people they're coming to the Lord, and they're being martyred because they asked Jesus in their heart, because their whole families, and they're coming to the Lord, and they're being killed. They're being martyred for the
That's
name
right.
of Jesus. And, you know, the Bible talks about all those that are around in heaven, those souls that are crying out, how long? How long is it going to be, Lord? How long is it going to be?
How much longer, yes.
Right. And so, you know, we don't know. But we know we're in the right season. So you need to know that. That's why we need to read the Torah, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
But we need to all read the Torah every year. You know, the Jewish people read the Torah every year from all the first, that's the first five books of the Bible. And they read that every year. And we've been reading it every year. And we've been getting revelation. And that's where we find out the many of the things that God has set in order. You know, things that God sets in order, He doesn't change it just because we come to the New Testament.
Nope.
No, he didn't. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law.
No. Nope.
What is the law? The law is the Torah.
That's right.
You know, the law is, people think about law, they think about, you know, legalistically things.
That's another misnomer. The Torah has not been done away with.
The law has not been done away with.
That's
and
right.
The law is,
still
the,
active.
Is the Torah. And it's the teaching and instructions of the Lord. And of course, if you don't do His commandments, even Jesus talked about doing His commandments. If we don't do His commandments, we can reap blessings or curses.
That's right.
You know, God doesn't put curses on people. People put curses on themselves. So, and it talks about that too. So we need to know what God says.
If you break God's standard, there's a consequence, isn't there? It's not from Him. It's what He put in place. So if you do what's right, you're going to be blessed. If you don't, you're not going to be blessed. It's
so
just
come tomorrow, amen, and yeah. Come ready, real willing and ready to go in your righteous robes. Because God is going to meet us in church tomorrow morning. He meets us every Sunday and every Friday and every Saturday.
Right.
But tomorrow is a real very special day, and we need to celebrate that. You know, that's the time when they eat apples and honey.
Yeah.
They celebrate. You know, it's when the gates are open. I mean, this is a joyful month that we're coming into. This month of
Tishri
is very important. And this is also in his commentary about how important Tishri is. Because we have three feasts that will happen during this month within a matter of 22 days.
That's right.
We have the feast of we have the Day of Atonement. That's 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, and then we have our Tabernacles, which is starts on the 17th of October, and that lasts for a whole week. And that's an awesome teaching too. We're not going to have time to teach on that today, but. That's
we'll
an
that
awesome
time
teaching.
Comes, yeah.
We'll teach on that maybe next week.
When it comes, because
it's yeah. awesome. That's really when Jesus was born.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't born in December. No, that's really when He was born. And the eighth day is called Rejoicing in the Torah. He is the Torah. Jesus is the Torah. Yeshua is the Torah. That's the day He was circumcised on.
That's right.
And that's the day it's called Rejoicing in the Torah. And who do we rejoice in? We rejoice in Yeshua.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
So don't let anybody convince you that the Torah has been done away with. Now, we know we don't do all the legalistic things that they used to do. But let me tell you, there's spiritual principles all through that. If you think that's not true, go read Romans chapter 7, what Paul had to say about the Torah, that it was good, holy, and just. And then he goes down a couple of verses and he says, and it is spiritual. So those things are still active today. And we got people teaching today that the Torah has been done away with. It has not. It is not faulty. Man was what made it faulty. It was man, the priesthood was faulty, not the Torah. So we got to keep that in mind. So we're going to talk about a few things here.
So if it's spiritual, that means it's written on our hearts.
It's got to be written in our heart. As we bring things off of that, you know, we have a Logos word here in front of me. This is the written word. Well, then there's a Greek word called rhema. It means a living word comes off the pages of the Logos, and that's what God wants us to know. And one of the things we're going to talk about, a couple of things here, it's a thing the Hebrews call a sod. It's a mystery here. It's hidden. You know, Paul talked about the mystery of the resurrection and all over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm going to tell you a mystery. You know, you're not all going to die, but you're all going to be what? Changed or transformed. And so, well, let's look at this a little bit because we're coming up on this time. Could it be these next couple of days? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But one year, it's going to be the real thing, okay? But we know, as Donna said right up front, we know the time and the season of the year. So I'm going to kind of do this in a little backward way today. I want to go back and go to the first covenant. You know, I like to call it the old covenant. I like to call it the first covenant.
Amen.
It's not old. It's just, it was the first covenant, okay?
That's right.
And, you know, they complement one another. So how can we say it's old and done away with? Well, it's not. So I thought we'd go look at this from a backward way. You know, Rosh Hashanah. Is a very important time. We always call it Rosh Hashanah, but it's really the Feast of Trumpets. And there's a lot of scriptures we see in the first covenant that God told Israel that He wanted to hide them and protect them.
That's right.
And we'll see this. And so we got to keep this in mind. And you want to think about what we hear in the church today. You know, Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24 and over in Mark 13 and all that, about the Great Tribulation. Well, we call it the Tribulation, and that's what, how it was translated. Well, what is that time called? It's called Jacob's Trouble. Well, think about it. It doesn't say the church's trouble. It says what? Jacob's Trouble.
Amen.
Huh? Jacob's name was changed to what? To Israel. So it's Israel's trouble. And it's a time that God's going to set aside, those 7 years, to draw more of the Jewish people to come to their Messiah, that they missed their visitation the first time. And all the things that's happened down through history, they should have their eyes open now, even more so. And I'll read some of the scriptures in the first covenant. I say, Lord, how can they read this and not see Yeshua in it? Like, how about Isaiah 53? How can they read that and not see it's about our Savior? So I thought we'd look at this in a little different way here. Because God's promised Israel, and He wants to hide them away. And He's, you know, He wants to hide all of us away. He wants none of us to go through this terrible time on the earth. But there's only one ticket out of that, and that's to know Yeshua as in a personal relationship. Not just know about Him, but to know Him, have Him in your heart, believe His word, and you will have your ticket to stay out of all that. And I believe with all my heart that day's coming soon. And we got all these teachings today about going halfway through Jacob's trouble, going to pre-wrath, to post, you know, and all that. No, if you look at for the scriptures to fit together like a glove, put a glove on your hand, you have to use a pre-tribulational understanding of what it's all about. And so this is what we're going to try to show you here a little bit here today. Now I'm going to take you to Psalm to start with. We need to read some scriptures here. I want to go to Psalm 27.
And I just want to say one thing about as you're going at, just about this first verse. Because just this first verse, there's so much in it.
Okay.
If you look at the Hebrew. Now it says the Lord. And the word,
Psalm 27, yes.
The word Lord is all capitalized.
Okay. So that's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's who that is. That's the holy name of God that people don't, they would say Adonai.
Adonai, yeah.
Okay. And now it says, and I had this vision, is my light. The Lord is my light. It doesn't say He shines light.
He is light.
He is my light,
that's
he
right.
says. He is my light.
That's right.
So we can say, the Lord, the I Am, He's the I Am, is my light.
Hallelujah.
And my salvation. So it just in that word.
And my
word,
Yeshua.
Right. When you look at those letters, those Hebrew letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, we are looking at light. Now, I think this is a revelation people have to catch if you don't. Because we need to always look to the light. We don't want to look to the darkness, to the dark things of the world, do we?
No.
We want to look, that's why we need to look up. Because we need to look from where our redemption comes from. It doesn't come from the world. Doesn't come from things. Our happiness doesn't come from stuff, amen, or circumstances. It comes from the light. Our joy is from the Lord. So it says the Lord. If we think about these, if you know what these letters look like in the Hebrew, the Yod, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, and you just set them there and you see them as fire. See. On the first day, you remember when God showed them light and He taught them how to, we talk about this on closing the Sabbath, how to start fire, when they were afraid. So He's our light. He
showed them how to build a fire. Yeah.
Right. So when we look at these letters, we were just to take a look at these letters. So what you need to do is find out exactly what these letters look like. And you need to get a picture in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, and look at these letters and see them as on fire. He's our fire. He's our light. And you know, if you, when we put out the light on the end of the Sabbath, you hold, Pastor Gene holds his hand up to us so you can see the red, your skin,
your blood
in your skin. Well, you get too close to it, you're going to burn yourself. Well, you know, and it says that whom shall I fear? Well, there's a different kinds of fear, but there's a holy fear where you would tremble in the presence of the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. So just starting this out like this, it says here, the Lord is my light. We need to realize, we need to put that in our heart. Who is our light?
He says, in my salvation.
That's right.
That word salvation in the Hebrew gives you the name Yeshua.
That's right. That's so right. It tells you who Yeshua is.
That's right.
Yeshua is the fire. He is the light.
Amen.
He is the Holy One of Israel. And we should have a holy, trembling fear of not in His presence, in His presence. When you're in His presence, what do people do? What do the angels do? They fall down. What do the saints do? They fall down. What happened when Paul was met on the road? He fell down. You know, it talks about many times when people would fall down to worship the Lord in his presence. See, that's when you're in the presence of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, you're in the light. Mm-hmm. He is our light.
That's right.
There's so much right there just in that.
That's right. There's a lot to it, boy.
The Lord is the strength. Strength
of my life.
My life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
Shall I be afraid? We should be afraid of no one.
No one. That's right.
Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
So it's a holy, it's more than, it's really more than a holy reverence. It's really knowing that God could do anything, you know?
All things.
So like it says in Hebrews, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God, you know, if you're doing the wrong thing, because he's the one that's going to be the judge. Well, anyway, I took you to Psalm 27. I want to show you something here because we're talking about trumpets. Now, verse 4 says, one thing David says here, have I desired of the Lord, this is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh again, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
Amen.
To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, this next verse has got a sowed in it. It's very interesting. Listen to this. For in the time of trouble, he, this is God, shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. So we got some real prophetic implications here. The time of trouble, I believe, here is referring to Jacob's trouble that's going to come in the near future here. For in the time of Jacob's trouble, he shall what? Hide me. Well, how's he going to hide? How's he going to hide the Jewish people at that time? Hide me in his pavilion. Where's his pavilion at? It's in heaven, okay? In the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. So that means they're going to be taken off the earth if they come to the Lord. And what? They'll be in the presence of the Lord. Now, my desire is they would all come right now. They would be part of the ecclesia. They'd be Jew and Gentile in the Messiah, and they won't have to worry about a thing at all. But the situation we're talking about is the ones that are going to be left here that's going to have to go through Jacob's trouble because of their unbelief and doubt. But God's got the mercy and grace to give them 7 more years of his love and grace to bring them to his son, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so that's what we got to pray for, that they'll come, that they're going to come in groves and realize that they need Yeshua. And that's the only ticket to heaven is through him. No other way. There's no other way to be there. And so we have to keep that in prayer. So God's purpose, he wants to hide them away. He wants to hide. So how's he going to hide them? He's going to take them off the earth if they come to Yeshua. Now, if they don't come to Yeshua, what's going to happen? They're going to go through this terrible time. But even during Jacob's trouble, the ones that come, think about this. You know, a lot of the Jews, it shows in the Bible, that they're going to survive Jacob's trouble and go into the kingdom in their physical bodies. But there's also going to be a huge number that'll go to Petra, and they're going to be hid during this terrible time for part of it. And they'll be protected. So they're going to be hidden that way. But the perfect thing that God wants them to know, he wants to hide them away in his pavilion. His pavilion is where? In heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day for all of us. One day, when the resurrection out from among the dead comes. What do I say? Out from among the dead. Because there'll be a lot of dead people left in those graves that had not come to Yeshua. So they're going to have to stay there for another 1,000 years. So out from among the dead. And then we who are alive and remain, who are in Christ Jesus and walk with him, love him, trust him, we will be snatched off this earth in a moment of time. Now, another place I want to take you, I'm going to go over to Isaiah now, chapter 26. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I can challenge you if you can between now and maybe tomorrow and Monday on about the time of trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Chapter 26 has 21 verses in it, and if you read the whole thing, it's talking about a season called trumpets. And what caught my eye here was verse 2. God says, open ye the gates. We sing this song all the time. That the righteous nation, you notice it's singular, it's talking about Israel, which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Hallelujah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But verse 2 says, open ye the gates. Well, in Yeshua's day, in Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, all the gates were open in the temple, and they leave them open during the days of awe. Okay, so he's saying, open the gates, leave the gates open, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. So the gates were open in Jesus' day, calling people, you know, all the Jewish people back in those days, that they believed in God, but they just didn't know how to understand how to hook it up when Yeshua came, that they needed a Messiah. They needed someone to take their sins upon themselves and they get away from all the sacrifices and all that. They didn't comprehend that. They had a hard time with it. So, but his purpose is they would all come. So he's opening the gates. He's asking them to come. We're in this time of Teshuvah, you know, to call the backslider home and all that. And so it's very interesting when we look at what he has to say about this. And so this whole chapter is about trumpets. And while we're talking about that, I was thinking about something else. I want to go to, I'm going to come back over there. I'm going to go over to the book of Joel real quick with you here. And I want to show you something else here, if I can get my pages there. In Joel chapter 2, hallelujah, verse 15 tells us this. It says, blow the trumpet. This word is a shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Well, this is on Yom Kippur that God requires this. And this is part of this time coming up that at the end of these, these next 10 days, what do we come to? We come to Yom Kippur. He says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck their breast, even babies. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So those gates are all open on the Day of Atonement. The close of the day, they slowly close all those gates in that day, in Yeshua's day. So it's a picture, a pattern. When all those gates are closed, it tells you those people that have not come, it's going to show one day they're going to be sealed for eternity in unbelief and doubt, and they're going to be in a bad place that God would rather them not be. Amen? So that's what this time called Jacob's Trouble is all about, is to bring them to the Messiah. So this chapter 26 in Isaiah is a very interesting one, and I don't have time to go through all of this. But I might mention here, let's see, I'm going to start in verse 19 with you here. Now, Isaiah speaking by the Spirit of God. He says, thy dead men shall live. So he believed in resurrection. Together with my dead body shall they arise. What? Rise from the dead. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now these next two verses, we've talked about this in the past on our program. But these two verses show us the days of awe. They're right here. But see, I don't understand how the Jewish people can read this and not fully understand what God's wanting them to know. This is referring to the days of awe, starting on trumpets and ending on the Day of Atonement, which is the day that's assigned to Israel and their corporate salvation. Verse 20 says this, come, my people. So God's calling them. Who? The Jewish people. That's who he's talking to here. Enter thou into thy chambers. Okay, hear this. And shut thy doors about thee. Now here's the key word. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Well, the word indignation is used many times in the first covenant, referring to Jacob's trouble. So he says, come, my people, enter thou into the chambers, shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself. And trumpets is called the day of hiding. Because see, it's one of 2 days. You know, it's a 48-hour window. They didn't know what day or hour that new moon would appear. And so it's called a day of hiding. So God's relating this with this about hiding themselves. Remember Yeshua went in the tomb? And he was in there for what? Two and a half, almost 3 days, and then he came out. And so he was hid for a while, but he came back out.
He was hid just like the new moon is right
That's
now.
Right, just like the moon.
The new moon right now, we can't see the new moon. And there's 2 days.
That's right.
It's totally black. You know, there's no... You can't see the moon.
That's right.
You can't see the moon at all. It's because it goes from the whole cycle. You know, the new moon is just a sliver.
That's
at
right.
The very end of the old moon, I guess you'd call it, would be a very sliver. And then it's black.
That's right.
It's dark. It's darkness. It's dark. It's a picture of darkness on
that's
the
right.
earth for over 2 days.
Over 2.5 days,
so
actually.
So that's
yeah.
why they wait. And they wait for the appearance
first sliver,
of
yeah.
the very first sliver.
That's right.
Of the new moon, and that's why this is so important. And this is how they establish every month, but especially at this month, at Tishri, because that's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
It's the beginning of the year.
That's right. It's a new year.
It's a new day. It's new year.
Mm-hmm.
It's when everything is starting over again.
That's right.
You start over and reading your Torah portions again.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look to, it's a new thing, you
That's
know?
That's right.
And so did you talk about well, you're going to talk about the trumpets and how many they blew
well,
those
we'll
trumpets.
We'll do that in a moment here. But I want to go back to verse 20 we were talking about here. It says, that they're going to enter their chamber and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. That time called Jacob's Troubles, that's 7 years, 2,520 days, in God's eyes is like a moment of time, just like that. Until the indignation, in other words, Jacob's trouble is over, be overpassed. So they're going to be hid during that time.
Amen.
Now we go to verse 21, and we jump out to the last day of what we would call the Teshuvah, and also the Day of Atonement closes out that 40-day period. And so this next verse is about Yom Kippur, about the Day of Atonement. It says for this, now Paul's, or Isaiah, I'm thinking about Paul. Isaiah says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." So here we see this. Here's a pattern right here of these last 10 days of the age that's going to come one day in the future. And so right now the Jewish people are rehearsing this time called the Days of Awe. They're going to be rehearsing this. They're going to try to get right with God and try to make sure everything's right in their life. Well, see, they can't get right with God, the Father, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, until they have Yeshua in their life. When they have Him in their life, then they can have a relationship with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, their Father. So here's a picture of this again, a pattern. Now, another place I'd like to show you, Donna was talking about those trumpets. We might just mention that before we turn over there. On the Day of Trumpets, and in Jesus' day, you know, they honored it 2 days. They had somebody picked out to blow a shofar. And they would blow a certain sound at 9 in the morning, 33 times. And then they would have another person at noon would blow a different sound. And they would have 33 sounds of that. And then in the afternoon, someone else would blow another round of different sounds. And it was a total of 99 blasts. Well, then at the close of the day, they had another man assigned with this huge shofar, and he blew it louder and louder. And I've read some things in the Jewish writings that you could hear that shofar all through Jerusalem, all for miles. It was so loud. And it was called the Awakening Blast.
Are you ready?
Yes. She's going to play it here for you. Mambre Bay. Whoa.
And who's going to blow that shofar, Pastor Gene?
God's going to blow that shofar. That's
God's
right.
God's going to blow
That's
that
right.
shofar.
He's
going to
call
God.
Home. So that's what we're going to hear one day. Mm. So the other place I want to take here, and then we can talk about some
more
things.
Do you think every year we'll hear that? I wonder.
I don't know. We don't know for sure, do we?
But the Jewish people blow this. They're going to do this.
They'll be doing it
this weekend.
Yeah, they'll be doing it.
And they'll do it a certain amount of times in the morning,
That's
certain
right.
amount of times in the afternoon.
That's right.
And at the close of the day, mm-hmm. they will do it again, that long one that you just heard, that long blast.
That's right.
Will be how many times? 100 times?
That's the 100th blast, and the last one's called the Awakening Blast.
Awakening Blast.
In fact, while we're talking about this.
So there's many warnings. Look at all the warnings.
Yeah, I'm going to go
99 warnings?
Yeah, I want to go to the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something here that Paul wrote for us. See, Paul, everything he said was based on his understanding of the Jewish faith. And thank God for Paul. And so he related a lot of things in the new covenant with us, the renewed covenant, that we might understand this. In fact, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he made an interesting statement here. He mentions here in verse 13, he says, "But all things that are reproved," mm-hmm. or exposed, "are made manifest by the light," that Donna talked about a little bit ago, "for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And then he says this. This is talking about Rosh Hashanah, but he's doing it in a spiritual sense. "Wherefore," he saith, "awake, thou that sleepest, the dead are going to be raised on that day, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So he's referring something with trumpets to referring to what? A spiritual thing, a new birth through Christ Jesus. So this is interesting how he worded that. Arise from the dead. Because see, before we get saved, what? We're spiritually dead. And Christ shall what? Give thee life. This is an interesting thing that he made a comment on. All right, back to the old, I started to say old again. It's the first covenant. I'm trying to change my vocabulary the last year. It's hard to retrain yourself sometimes. But I want to go to Zephaniah. And if you don't know what some of these prophets' names mean, you ought to look them up and see what they are in the Hebrew. Zephaniah's name means God hides, and this is for the Jewish people. It's a short book. You know, it's not very long. You know, it has three chapters in it. But I want to go to chapter 2 with you. Mosa kandaraba brokosi kandara kasandana mosa tere brokosi bibikisan. Lord, if there's a Jewish person listening right now, Lord, I pray with all my heart right now, Lord, that their heart, the veil would be removed.
Yes, Lord.
And they would see that Yeshua came for them. And he's getting ready to come back to set up his kingdom. And he wants them to be a part of the kingdom. And we have a choice. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. We want them to come. So I just release anyone that's listening that's Jewish.
Thank you,
or
Lord.
Or maybe don't even go to synagogue, but just have to be tuned in this program today to listen to what this is saying in the Word of God, that they might be drawn to come to Messiah.
Amen.
Verse chapter 2, verse 1 says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Now, the nation is singular again. He's talking, they were not desired. They were in sin and debauchery and everything. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. So when will this, what's he talking about future-wise? This is talking about Jacob's trouble and to the very end of it, okay? Now this next verse I'm going to read with you is a trumpet's verse. Now listen to what he says here. Seek ye the Lord. That's what they have to do. Somebody's listening, I just said a moment ago. Seek the Lord with this. Ask him to show you, and I believe he'll open your eyes to see this. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek. It means the humble of the earth, which have wrought his what? His judgment. Seek righteousness. Hear this? There's no righteousness except in Yeshua. He is our righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags, the Bible tells us. But his is the only one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. It tells us in 2 Corinthians over there that the man that knew no sin, who's that? Yeshua became what? He actually became our bloody sacrifice that we might, there's an if, that we might be made the righteousness of God through or by him. Incredible. That's the only way we can be righteous is him, no other way. So he said, seek righteousness. That means seeking Yeshua. Seek meekness, being humble. Now listen to this. It may be, there's an if, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Well, when will that be? At the very end, there's going to be the anger of the Lord's going to, that's at the end of Jacob's trouble. Then everything's going to come to an end, and Armageddon's going to come and all that. But see, God wants Israel to be a part of the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile in Messiah, that will, if they die, they'll come out of their graves first, and then they that are alive and remain, that are serving Yeshua, they know him as their Lord and Master, well, what's going to happen? They will be taken off the earth in a moment of time. So it's amazing just to think about what God has in plan for Israel. And so my heart goes out to them this time of the year, because this is the days of awe they're coming into. This is when they need to really hear the truth. God, open their hearts. Get rid of that stiff-neckedness. Open their hearts to see completely what you're trying to tell them at this time. And so we thank you that you're going to do that with many of them that are going to come. Over 300 congregations now in Israel. Messianic.
Thank you, Lord.
Double that before this week's up. Make more and more come. And so how can we thank you enough for what you're going to do?
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm thinking here in chapter 3, we think about if they don't come, verse 8 says this, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nation, these are the Gentiles at the end, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Mm-hmm. So, this, he's talking about all the other nations as well, because there's going to be a bunch of nations going to surround Israel when Armageddon comes. So we have some interesting things with all this. Now, I'm going to go over to the book of Revelation. That's the last book in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God, it almost didn't make it in the canon, but thank God it did. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to go over to probably our favorite chapter in the Bible, in Revelation 19. That's how we got the name of our church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, out of Revelation 19:10. But we see what's going to happen here. First of all, I want to go to... I was looking if I wanted to go someplace else. I guess I'll just go ahead and do what I'm talking about here for now. I was thinking about doing something else. That's all right. If he wants me to do that, I will. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to start read here in chapter 19, verse 7. Now, these verses, is God's desire for everyone, but this is primarily, he's talking to the Jewish people that'll be in Jacob's trouble. That's what it's all for them, okay? Now, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven when this time comes that died way before this that are in Yeshua, and they're going to come back. We know the Bible shows us. We'll read it here in a moment. And so they'll come back with a Jew or Gentile that's in the Messiah. But see, God's wanting them to come. And whether you understand this or not, you need to. There'll be another, listen to me closely, there'll be another resurrection at the end of Jacob's trouble. There's going to be seven years, and all these appointed times will come to pass during those 7 years. The last year, the seventh year, there's going to be another Rosh Hashanah come, the last one of this age that we know, this trumpets. There will be a resurrection at that point in time out from among the dead, okay? Those that came to Yeshua during Jacob's trouble and all the first covenant saints that walked righteous with God, there will be a resurrection on trumpets there also, okay? It's one of the resurrections. It's incredible to think about it, but that's what's going to happen. And so the Jewish people, if they just come to Yeshua now, they won't have to go through Jacob's trouble. But if they go through it, and if they can survive it till the end, well, then they have an opportunity there at the end. Even if they get martyred, if they get their heads taken off, like it says in Revelation chapter 20, even no matter what happens, they will have an opportunity to be resurrected and taken to glory before Armageddon comes, because trumpets will come again. And so the desire of my heart is they would all come now and not have to go through that. But God's given them those last 10 days, again, I keep talking about that, from trumpets to the Day of Atonement, to have an opportunity, give them mercy and grace to come to Yeshua the Messiah. And so here we go. Chapter 19, verse 7. John is writing here by the Spirit, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come," some at the marriage supper, "and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." I want you to notice in verse 7, it doesn't say a bride there, it says a wife. And the King James Version is the proper translation. When we come out of that chamber, we will not be a bride any longer. We have been married for 7 years in a honeymoon chamber up in heaven. Hallelujah. And it says, we read verse 8 and verse 9. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper." Who are those who are called or chosen to come? The Jews that will be saved during Jacob's trouble. "To the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me," these are the true sayings of God. Remember, the ticket to get into the kingdom is Yeshua. There's no other ticket. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus," or Yeshua, "is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." This has to be Yeshua. "And in righteousness doth he judge and war." So Armageddon's getting ready to come now, okay? "His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And that blood was not from the cross. This blood is going to be from Armageddon. This is what this time's all about. This is talking about the Day of Atonement, when Armageddon will start. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Going to rule the nations, plural, wow. Gentile. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So here they are. These are the ones that did not accept Yeshua. There's going to be a destruction at the end. Verse 19, they'll be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And I saw the beast, this is the false Messiah, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast, this is the false Messiah, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, Yeshua, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Wow. And I want to go down to verse 4 in chapter 20 with you. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. This, by the way, this is a trumpet. This is a trumpet scripture, but also the depth of it is incredible. The judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. A lot of them are going to be beheaded, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their heads, foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived. The Greek grammar here is a future tense, and they lived again is what it means. They lived again and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the only way they could live and be a part of this for this 1,000 years, they have to know Yeshua the Messiah. Even some of them were beheaded and all that. As we mentioned, there'll be a resurrection on the last trumpets of Jacob's trouble, of all the first covenant saints that walked righteous with God, all the martyrs that came to Christ during Jacob's trouble, they'll all be resurrected at that particular time. And then 10 days later again, here we go, after the days of all, Armageddon will come and all this destruction will come upon the earth. And so the only way out of this is to know the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen? So it's amazing we think about what we have and the promises that we have. And so my heart goes out to them that they'll come and know the Messiah in a way like never before.
Amen.
And all they have to do is ask and they shall receive. And I've talked to a lot of Jewish people over the years that came to Yeshua. And I'll tell you, when they came, they wanted everything that God had for them. They wanted every single thing that he had. They wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They wanted to know the power of healing and discernment, tongues and interpretation, prophecy. They wanted it all. They didn't want part of it. They wanted all of it. And that's what we all need, but a lot of the church doesn't want all that. But when they come, for some reason, God just pulls them right into that place to know, that they want to know all about God. So we got a wonderful time, and so here we are. Tomorrow will be the first day of trumpets this year, and then Monday will be the second day. Could it be this year? Now, personally, I don't think so, but I could be wrong. It could be, because, you know, God, that's God's time, and he gave us all these appointed times to teach us about the future. And so trumpets is always, we've talked about this a lot. You know, the first four appointed times, you know, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, was all fulfilled in Yeshua's life. But the last three, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, has not been fulfilled in his life yet. It has been partly, tabernacles has partly about his birth and all, but it has not been fulfilled. And so he's going to do that. And we talk about Joel chapter 2 all the time, where it says that God's going to pour out his reign. It means, the Hebrew can also mean teacher of righteousness, his former and latter reign in the first month. And we've talked about this a lot. How can you have the former and latter reign in the first month when they're in the opposite ends of the year?
Amen.
It's because there's two calendars that God wants us to know about. There's a civil calendar and there's a prophetic calendar. What we're talking about here today is the prophetic calendar that God put in place to show us, to teach us about the Messiah. When we understand that calendar, I tell you, the Bible comes alive. And so if you know that and you read your Bible, it talks about a month and a day, you won't be in the dark. You'll know what month it is. And so I offer this commentary. Well, it's not a commentary. It's a book that I wrote quite a few years ago. It's called The Pictures of the Messiah, but it's also called God's Prophetic Calendar pictures of the Messiah as revealed in God's appointed times. They're His appointed times. He put them in the Word for us to teach us about the Messiah. So if we look at trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, we can see, it's all about Israel. It's their time. It's their time to come. And God wants them to know that. Amen. But Amen. Also, that means that the church, we that are in Christ, whatever, however God's going to end Israel, whatever year it will be, if we back up 7 years, we're going to come to the beginning of Jacob's trouble. That's when He's going to end the work with the church as well, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then there'll be what? A resurrection out from among the dead on trumpets also. And what? A catching away. And then Jacob's trouble will start. It's going to run for 2,520 days until the last year. Then there'll be another resurrection. No catching away, but a resurrection of the first covenant saints and all the martyrs that die during Jacob's trouble. What a thing to think about. But see, God wants anybody listening, if you're not walking with the Lord or you don't know Him, you need to come to Him. You won't have to go through that time. You know, if you're a Gentile on this earth, and this time comes, well, you're going to get stuck going through this as well if you don't come to the Messiah. But see, the Messiah wants all to come. He's not willing that any would perish. He wants all to come to repentance. That's what it's all about. So our heart is out to everyone that's listening today to know how important this season is. And so if we close our program, we're going to close it here in a couple of minutes. We always tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The only way we can truly be redeemed is through Yeshua the Messiah. There's no other way. There's not 5 or 6 or 10 different ways to get into the kingdom of God. Amen. There's only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by Him. So we hope, if there's someone listening right now that's never made that decision, today is the day. Today is the day. Just think, if it would happen tomorrow or the next day, and you don't come to the Lord, you're going to go through hell on this earth called Jacob's trouble. You'll be a part of it, whether you like it or not. So He's given you a way to escape. He's going to hide you away for 7 years in glory. In that wedding chamber in heaven. Not for 7 days like a Jewish wedding, but for 7 years. So praise God. So we love you. That's why we're on this program.
Amen.
So we want, as we close, we want to
let me give the phone number, Pastor Gene. If you want to come tomorrow, we're going to have a wonderful Rosh Hashanah service.
Yes.
And so we're here in Stuart, Florida. And you can listen to this again. You can go to your internet and you can listen to this broadcast again and get some more information. Well, phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. This is the Raising the Standard radio broadcast, and the name of the church is Spirit of Prophecy here in Stuart, Florida.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'd like to say hello. We forgot to say this. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over in Andros Island, our sister church over there. We keep praying for you. So as we close our program every week, we tell you to look up.
Look up.
Because your redemption draweth nigh. Could it be this weekend?
Could it be?
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.